Welcome to Let's Talk Real Estate. I'm your host, Anna Olsisi, serial entrepreneur, passionate marketer, and owner at Segway Group at Keller Williams Realty, Gainesville. On the podcast, you will find valuable information about all things real estate, plus some fun stories told by a variety of guests. So if you like what you hear, then subscribe and invite any friends who you think may get some value from listening. Welcome to this week's show, everyone. Today we have a very special guest. He's a bigwig. He is Ari Rastegar. Not that our other guests haven't been bigwigs, by the way. I don't want to insult anybody, but Ari Rastegar is the founder and CEO of Rastegar Property Company, and he has earned a reputation as a thought leader in real estate. And he's got this innovative, technology-driven investment strategies that he's going to talk to us about, I'm sure. And he specializes in recession-resilient real estate or real assets and multifamily real estate developments. So that's really interesting. We've never had anybody, you know, who does that sort of thing on the show. So he builds portfolios designed to reduce risk and maximize capital appreciation potential. And he also knows a thing or two about Biden's plan for real estate and what those implications are for the real estate market. So his sustainability plan. Ari contributes to the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, CBS, International Business Times, and Let's Talk Real Estate with Anna. So there you go. We are honored. So Ari, without any further ado, welcome. How are you?
Anna, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This is wonderful.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. I appreciate your taking time just to be on the podcast and to give us some insights about everything that you know regarding Biden's plan and just real estate and investing and all of that in general. So I did give everybody an idea of who you are, but just give me a little bit more. Tell us, who are you? Who is Ari?
Well, Ari, I appreciate that. So Ari is first and foremost a husband and a father. And that is very much, you know, my life. You know, my wife Kelly and our three lovely children, Isabella being 1 year old. 1 year old.
Oh my God!
Our son Kingston is 5, and our daughter Victoria is 8.
And so three ones.
Oh. So that's my life. We can end the podcast. That's it.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's my life. And my wife works in the company. My sister-in-law, my wife's older sister, as well, is an executive at the firm. I actually started the company with a $3,000 loan when I was in law school.
Wow.
And so I, you know, flipped burgers through high school and delivered pizzas through college and used student loans. And I don't know what possessed me to want to be on a construction site pouring concrete and, you know, putting up sheetrock and then, you know, rushing to law classes. But that's what we did. And 2008 hit and I got kicked in the teeth. And my partner is a beautiful, beautiful man, incredibly illustrious career, kind of gave me a choice. He said, look, I'll keep your credit in good standing, give your investors your money back, and, you know, I'll take over the portfolio. Incidentally, fast forward a few years, he made a bunch of money, so it worked out good for him.
Yeah.
And I spent many years on Wall Street, you know, having some of the greatest minds in the industry very much jumpstart my career. And my book is actually coming out in April called The Gift of Failure.
Oh,
and it really focuses on the introspection around failure. And a lot of times we see that as a bad word. And the joke around my office is that Ari fails very quickly. So that's what we do. And I'm born and raised in Austin, Texas. And as we know, you know, Texas and Austin have very much been huge buzzwords across the real estate global community, with Oracle moving their headquarters and Tesla building the largest gigafactory in the world. We're one of the largest real estate owners in the entire city. I own 100% of the company. Like I said, started it from nothing. We're developing single family homes just south of Austin on 320 acres. We own multifamily projects, retail, We're building 500,000 square feet of industrial right next to Tesla's 2,000 acres that they bought. Chanel is next to us for their new global manufacturing plant by the airport. And, you know, we've invested in 38 cities, 12 states, and 7 asset classes successfully over the last 5 years. And we just launched a $200 million REIT, and we're looking to raise about $1 billion of equity over the next 12 months to invest in, you know, kind of older vintage multifamily product that, you know, private equity really hasn't touched. And so these are in the tech hub centers of the United States, like Nashville, Tennessee, Raleigh, Tampa. You know, we're looking at Northern Miami, Austin, Dallas, Houston, Phoenix, and really just delivering a better product for our end user. And, you know, we take that Amazonian approach of just being obsessed with our clients, obsessed with our tenants, which we call neighbors here at Rastigar, and taking a, you know, data analytics approach. You know, the joke at the firm is that light bulbs don't go out in Rastigar buildings. And that's because we've installed chips and computer chips in all of the light bulbs and the water heaters and the faucets, doors, touchless entry, so that we are tracking. If you turn on a microwave in a Rastigar unit, we not only know you turned on a microwave, we know the exact wattage. We're collecting all that data, bringing on a team of data scientists out of MIT and machine learning experts to help us make better investment decisions as we begin to expand our portfolio. And we're looking to do about $4 billion in acquisitions over the next 18 months, which is keeping me busy would be an understatement. But this is what I was born to do. And, you know, we got very lucky to be down in Austin and be able to be born here, raised in a city that is really the epicenter here. And, you know, dovetailing onto what you said about President Biden, is his efforts around infrastructure is what I'm most excited about. It's pretty embarrassing that, you know, as a first world, you know, really leader of the world country as we are in America, to have an infrastructure that is not even in the top 50 for the world, and him focusing on sustainability, lowering carbon footprints. You know, we're at the forefront of that. We have a development on East 8th and I-35, which, those of you that don't know Austin, that's, you know, really the heart of downtown. We have one of the, you know, first, and I'm trying to get better data on this, but I believe we're going to be the first post-COVID office building ever delivered in the United States that has UV HEPA filters, fully touchless entry, staircases on the outside, windows that actually open, that will create a safe wellness environment that will really be the future of what development will be in the United States and the world, hopefully. With a very small carbon footprint, solar panels, LED lighting, which we've been at the forefront of, you know, in Austin, which we're expanding globally. And so I'm really excited about that. And I'm excited that, you know, finally we're getting the attention that this thing really deserves. And I'm just so proud to know that, you know, his goal of bringing 100 million vaccines in his first 100 days, there's a lot of these things that were desperately needed. And he has all my love and all my prayers to, you know, effectuate these grandiose goals. And I think it's a very, very exciting time to be an American. And it's a very, very exciting time to watch this evolution. So I'm not a doom and gloom guy. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm a risk manager by trade, so I'm always looking at the downside, but I assure you the data points to a very, very bright future. My heart and prayer goes out to the 400,000 people that have died in our country and beyond that globally from this pandemic. But this will shortly end, and it'll create one of the greatest buying opportunities of the past 100 years. And that's based upon our data and analysis. And it's never been a better time to be an entrepreneur. Innovation, the best innovation of the world comes from necessity. And this has caused, you know, innovation is now necessitated. And so I'm excited to watch all the great entrepreneurs, all your listeners who are, you know, have great ideas in their minds. And I urge them to be bold and move forward, because the world needs great entrepreneurs now more than ever.
Yes, it does. It's a mix. It's almost like, and I'm not thankful for COVID in any way whatsoever. It's horrible. It's horrible in every single way, but you have to see opportunities even in bad things. And so that has sparked innovation and entrepreneurship. We live in a very entrepreneurial, innovative town. That's one of the big, big things about Gainesville. And so, yes, to see this changing the way we look at things, changing the way we build things, and everything is very positive. Yeah, it's, yeah.
Yes. Well, how you look at things, right? And so Tony Robbins, I've had a life coach for about 12 years. And, you know, look, I had a speech impediment that, you know, was almost holding me back in school. And if my father hadn't been such an advocate for, you know, convincing teachers that I didn't have mental disabilities, I just, you know, had a speech impediment. I had 7 years of speech therapy. I was just a regular kid that, you know, kind of, I'm not the one that should have made it, right? And building a multi-billion dollar portfolio over the next 18 months that's wholly owned. And, you know, to our knowledge, that's never been done in real estate, certainly, you know, at the pace that we've been able to do it with such kind of low risk. You know, I have to be an optimist, you know, in that regard. And Tony Robbins says something, you know, very beautiful that touched me. And I've attended many of his seminars and a lot of his conferences. And I'm a student of self-help books like Think and Grow Rich and, you know, Jim Rohn, and Dale Carnegie. You know, my personal coach is the world famous Lauren Zander, who is an absolute genius savant. Who I speak with every single day. You know, we've been together almost 10 years, and she represents Hugh Jackman. And I mean, this just the name, the list goes on of some of the biggest people in the world. And I'm the humble kind of nobody that she's with, you know, through these years. But I will tell you, Tony said something that was very powerful. He said, you know, when you look at the world or you listen to things, we have a tendency to think that life is happening to us. Okay. If it's happening to me, why is this pandemic or whatever it is? Like, why am I having this bad day? And why did this happen to me? And push this victim mentality. But he said, what if life was happening for you? You know, what if all along life was happening for you and preparing you for greater things? You know, there's a old Yiddish proverb, and forgive me, I was an English major before law school, so I'm a kind of a book freak. So I'll keep giving you kind of quotes from much greater minds than me. But the old saying is, man plans, God laughs.
Right.
You know, and to me, when I say God, whether that's nature, the universe, and, you know, I have all the love and respect for all the different religions and belief systems, and, you know, whether it's God, nature, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, it's funny that, you know, I have to believe that there's a larger plan that's better. And people say, oh, everything happens for a reason. And I think that's an incomplete quote. I believe that everything happens for a good reason in the long term. And so I'm very optimistic of what the future holds for all of us. And you're right. This has been a tremendous tragedy, and has been a really, really tough year. And a lot of us wish we could erase 2020. I'm a little embarrassed to tell you that 2020 was the best year of my entire career. We bought, you know, 9 properties at the height of COVID between March and May, saw a tremendous buying opportunity. And we expanded the firm exponentially during COVID, and which was great for our investors, great for our bankers, and, you know, for our tenants. We had record-breaking applications because a lot of the properties that we own on the multifamily side look kind of like old Motel 6s. They're 2-story, 3-story walk-ups. So they have this inherent social distancing. So folks don't need to get into elevators or, you know, have the proximity of these other properties. And so, and Austin obviously went completely just off the charts during this time and the growth. But like I said, it's obviously been a very, very trying time. I mean, the kids being at home and being cooped up. I mean, our 1-year-old has never even really been on a real play date, you know, and that's, there's a lot of those things that break my heart. But from a business standpoint, you know, and business isn't life by any stretch of the imagination, but The business just went, just absolutely has been thriving beyond belief, which I'm grateful for. So we can offer more jobs, more expansion, and continue our mantra of conscious capitalism and sustainability, which we've done from inception. I left Wall Street to do things a better way. And I hope that I'm being still held accountable to that and still continuing to do things a better way that are in the best interest of our neighbors and the best interest of our investors.
Definitely. Well, it sounds like you are for sure. I want to go back to what you mentioned about really expanding into these big tech cities and all that. Now, are you thinking about going into some cities that have been negatively affected by COVID and kind of helping them rebuild?
You know, it's really about, so our mandate is a Sun Belt mandate. So if you were to Google my name, or Rastigar, you know, Rastigar property or anything of that such. We were one of the cover stories of the Commercial Observer yesterday, or maybe the day before. Every day is Monday for me. So I don't, you know, discriminate between days. If it isn't why I'm working.
Me too.
And so, you know, our strategy around, you know, this big raise is in the Sun Belt. Mm-hmm. And it's really capitalizing on the exodus of California and New York and the East Coast into these tech cities and really following where the employment is and where there's better value for the end user. For example, if you work in Silicon Valley and you move to Texas or move to Austin, you're not only getting an immediate pay raise with no state income taxes, you know, but cost of living is lower. So the same, you know, type of gas in California that's $5 a gallon is $1.30 in Texas. So it's a better end user experience, you know, for the employees, which I'm really excited about. You know, we really specialize in workforce housing. So not necessarily affordable housing per se, but something in between the cost of, you know, the new construction high rises and, you know, one step above kind of the Class C kind of, you know, more beat up properties. And so offering, you know, a great value to that end user. And because Texas, if it was a country, would be the 10th largest country in the world on a GDP basis. And we operate at a $12 billion surplus. So Texas is able to offer massive incentives, you know, to companies. Samsung recently, you know, I don't know if you saw the news today, is, you know, looking to bring their $10 billion manufacturing plant to Texas. Hewlett Packard just moved their operations. Oracle moved their headquarters. And so at the corporate level, they're getting great incentives to be here, which is also a huge, huge, massive win for the employees, which I'm always a big advocate for, you know, for the ordinary person like myself who delivered pizzas, as I said, through college and, you know, had immigrant parents and, you know, kind of like yourself. And so that's really where my passion is and where my heart is. And I'm really happy to see that migration happen. And that's happening in Nashville. That's happening in Charlotte, you know, Raleigh and all the cities that we mentioned, Tampa, Florida, Oklahoma City, Kansas City, Missouri, Phoenix. And so the short answer is, you know, we're following where the jobs are, you know, and we're going to help, you know, help expand what's already expanding in those cities. And, you know, I'm not a guy that swings for the fences. You know, we've always been kind of looking for singles and doubles, and, you know, mitigating risk as much as we possibly can. And as you mentioned, recession resilient. And, you know, I'm not a jargon guy by any stretch. I like to make things as simple as possible. You know, Einstein would say, make things as simple as possible, but no simpler. Mm-hmm. And that's really been kind of our mantra. So, you know, going to rebuild California is very, very low on my list.
Right.
And, you know, going to rebuild New York is not even in my strategy.
Right.
I love New York City. I was in that city, you know, for many, many years. Our daughter was born at Lenox Hill at 77th and Park Avenue. So, I have a deep love for New York City, no question. But my money's going in the Sun Belt.
Right, right. Well, New York's New York. It'll come back. It's fine. It'll do just fine on its own. I can see why the Sun Belt, it's appealing not just I mean, not just in general because of cost of living and everything like that. It's just appealing because it literally is the Sun Belt, and we've got everything that places like New York don't have, where, you know, we've got land and sun and again, the low cost of living.
Yeah, it's a value play. It's a value mm-hmm. play that works great at the corporate level. Mm-hmm. It works great at the employee level. And when you look at cities like Nashville, that is just so cool with great music and great food, same as Austin. Austin actually has more public parks than any top 10 city in the United States. It's built on lakes and has hills. And, you know, when you look at the millennials, I'm actually the oldest millennial, which is kind of funny. You know,
you're an elder millennial.
I'm a music fanatic, and a lot of, you know, some of the biggest musicians in the world are our investors. And I don't know if they feel comfortable me saying their names, but let's just say if I said their names, you would know who they are in a second. And, you know, I'm kind of, they always joke that I'm like the big brother to the young kids and I'm the little brother to the older ones. So, you know, J. Cole, who a lot of you all know, you know, he has a song called Middle Child, and he talks about how he's stuck in the middle of two generations. And that's kind of me, you know. So I'm having meetings with the biggest, you know, real estate operators in the world, and then kind of having meetings with a lot of younger kids. So I'm having a little bit of an identity crisis. I went to law school, my bar's still in good standing, but I'm kind of the young old guy, right? So, and my daughter reminded me that I'm getting a lot more gray hair the other day. So I guess I'm getting a little older.
Better gray hair than no hair. How about that?
No, well, hair I have plenty of. That's the I have my mother's German skin that's, you know, soft, and my father's Brillo pad of hair, which is the Iranian hair curse. So, you know, a lot of laser hair removal to not look like a werewolf.
Well, I'm sure it's just mine. And like I said, hey, at least you'll look young for a long time, even if it's gray.
Well, so, I take it very, very seriously. And, you know, if you were to look up, GQ did a big story on me about a year ago about my health regimen. And I take eating healthy and taking my vitamins, and, you know, wellness is very much part of the Rastigar culture. We have a gym built in our garage and in the house. We have one in the office, and you know, health and wellness is a huge component of this stuff. And it's something that we're very, very passionate about, of, you know, making sure that we can show up for our investors and show up for our clients. And if you don't feel good, and Ralph Waldo Emerson said that, you know, health is wealth. And I think he was right, you know. So that's very, very much a core value of Rastigar, is health and wellness. And if you were to look up Ari Rastigar GQ or something like that into Google, you could read the article, and it really explains my mantra and philosophy around health and wellness and how that intersects with business.
I love that. Well, I will definitely. I'm sure the listeners will as well. So you mentioned you are a millennial, which I didn't know. I'm an Xer. I'm a Gen Xer. But I still like you. And so you were mentioning how, you know, all these cities, you know, in the Sun Belt, you're putting money into them and they're growing, and really they're just absolutely booming. Is that eventually, do you predict, going to really affect the cost of living and affect Gen Z's?
Yes.
You
know, yeah. Yes. But with that will come higher pay. Because if you look at the pay and the cost of living of San Francisco as a dichotomy versus Austin or Phoenix or one of these cities, there's a lot of room to grow with. So as that cost of living does increase, which it will inevitably, as we saw San Francisco grow over the last 30 years and New York grow out 30 years, salaries and things also coincided with them. So I'm not worried that, you know, because in these companies are getting such big tax breaks and great incentives to move to these cities. And part of that commitment that they're getting, and certainly Texas has done this, is saying, hey, make sure you take care of your employees. So a lot of these agreements, you know, have that. So yes, cost of living will go up. Prices of rents will go up. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, Austin is what San Francisco was 30 years ago, if you really look at the data. Mm-hmm. And I think that it'll be, for the next 10 to 20 years, you know, a great place to be. Obviously, as you said, you know, Austin, I'm biased too, as it's my hometown. But when you look at the data, it's very much become the center of the universe in terms of the real estate world in the United States, for the obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. There's just so much room to grow. So, I mean, like the same sized apartment in near the urban core in San Francisco. If you compare that to Austin, it's 1/7 of the price.
Wow. Okay.
So there's definitely room to increase rents before even reaching a fraction of what it is in San Francisco. So I think we have a great runway in front of us that's going to be win-win all around.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And have you started to see a migration of Gen Z? Because millennials definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I figured the elder Gen Zs are now graduating college. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
they're coming. They're interning with us. They're moving here, you know, and absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, our strategy is, you know, is a 20-year strategy, 20-year vision for where we see the city and see our investments and, you know, looking forward in that direction and building things, renovating things, investing in things that very much will cater to Gen Z and beyond, as well as the millennials. And it's a very forward-looking, like I said, technology, data-driven strategy that's going to create great experience, you know, and that's really what it's going to be about, because millennials and Gen Z, you know, have different core values, you know, they value philanthropy, they value being out of the apartment, they value things that have consciousness towards them. And we are aware of that. Mm-hmm. And we are, you know, creating environments and creating things that will cater to what those new core values are, because they very much are different than the baby boomers, to use a massive dichotomy.
Oh, I mean, yeah, completely different. Yeah, the poor boomers, they're out. No, just kidding. They're all moving toward us, so I don't know.
I mean, it's life. It's life. It's nature. You know, all of us have our day coming, and every generation tells the other generation they're crazy, whether it was saying, if you listen to rock and roll, you're going to hell, then it became rap, you're going to hell. Like, you know, it's like, it's all, you know, this is not new, right?
Right.
Oh, your skirt is, you know, you can't wear a bikini, and your skirt's too short. You know, every generation complains about the generation before of them being too liberal or being too whatever. And, you know, you just got to take all that with a grain of salt and run your race.
Of course, definitely. Well, we've talked about a lot of the opportunities that you've had and how you really, I feel like you see opportunity in everything, even in failure, which that's totally my mantra too. However, we all still have our challenges. So what's been your greatest challenge just in your career in general?
You know, and you'll read this in the book and I'll send you a copy when it comes. My greatest challenge was overcoming my ego. You know, and early on, I'm embarrassed to say that I was a much more arrogant man.
You're a younger man. I think that's why. That's all.
You know, and I was very exuberant, and I'm not making excuses for myself, but I thought I had the answers, and really checking that ego and surrounding myself with highly believable people and listening to other points of view. And even if I quote unquote didn't agree, taking a very democratic approach to that and listening to different opinions from different vantage points of different people from different parts of the business and really taking that advice. And there's been instances where I didn't necessarily myself agree, but the entire team agreed. And, you know, being able to check your ego at the curb and say, look, this is not about us. This is about something bigger than us. We're stewards of capital. We're stewards of, you know, of our neighbors or our tenants that live with us. We need to do what's best for them. And surrounding myself with people much smarter than me that can bring the right decision that wouldn't necessarily have been mine. And that's boded really well. And it was a challenge for me early on. And now it's something I'm very, very proud of, because it's proved to show much more growth and much more prosperity. And that's the thing I'm kind of most embarrassed about, but also was my biggest challenge. And now I've leaned into it, and I love it. Now it's great.
Excellent. Oh, with age comes wisdom. And we do start to accept the things that we're not good at. And I think the minute that you accept your flaws, then you start being incredibly successful.
Well, I always joke that now I know all of my demons by their first name. So we're on a first name basis. They're still there.
Perfect.
We know each other.
You know? Exactly.
And I see them peeking up and I can, you know, we can have a conversation really quick and my higher self can tell them to, you know,
right.
Quiet down.
Exactly. You know? Back off.
Yeah, back off. And I still eat my French fries from time to time and still eat my pizza and, you know, enjoy my time. And I live by the 80-20 rule. I'm not trying to win the health award, but you know, when it's just me, I'm eating my salads and fishes and no gluten or dairy or sugar and in the gym every day, even if it means just running sprints in front of my hotel for 10 minutes till I'm exhausted, but moving my body, honoring my body. I'm a big believer in transcendental meditation, which I do, which I've been doing now for almost 7 years. And, you know, just being conscious of taking care of myself, because I had to learn that that's not being selfish, that that's, you know, they say, you know, when you're on the airplane, put the oxygen mask on your own face before you put it on the face of the person next to you. And I've come to learn that the more that I can take care of myself, the better father I can be, the better husband I can be, the better investor I can be. And I found, you know, coming home, being exhausted and not being able to show up for my kids when my health wasn't as optimized as it is now, wasn't acceptable. And so I've made a massive, massive investment in my health, whether it's getting in hyperbaric chambers and vitamins and hormone replacement and food sensitivity tests and just making sure that I can show up best to contribute as much as I possibly can.
That's wonderful. That's why you have so much energy and why you've been so successful. And I'm totally going to read the GQ article because it sounds fascinating. And I believe in all that stuff too. So that's great. But yeah, that's wonderful. Well, so what have we not covered that you wanted to cover?
You know, and for me, it's about your listeners. And if mm-hmm. there's anything that you think that's been on their minds, if they've been talking to you or reaching out mm-hmm. to you, if I can add value. And, you know, for me, it's always about creating value. And that's what we always talk about, you know, at RAS Cigars, identifying opportunity and creating value and adding value. So to me, it's, is there anything else? I'll put it on you. Is there anything else that your listeners have been asking you that are in my, you know, kind of my bailiwick that I could help answer? And if not, I've given you all I got.
Well, that's great. Well, that's all I can ask, right? So yeah, no, I think that a lot of people wanted to know where the future of real estate is. And you've really answered that. You've driven home, you know, the fact that the Sun Belt is definitely growing. You're putting your money there. You're betting on it. And I can see why. And it's just been evident toward the end of 2020. And it's still happening even despite the transition in administration, which a lot of people were concerned about. But to your point, it's really a positive thing. And it's only going to help us grow some more.
It is. And look, people ask me all the time, are you a Republican? Are you a Democrat? And I'm an American.
Right.
You know, and I don't agree with anybody on everything, you know, whether it's my president or whether, you know, my wife, right?
Right.
And that doesn't mean, and I thought, you know, President Biden's inauguration speech, I hope a lot of you caught it, mm-hmm. Was just absolutely beautiful. I mean, it was so unifying and it was just, yes. just, you know, spoke to a point of hope, and he has all my prayers. And I think, you know, his heart is really in the right place. And we made history by bringing the first female vice president, African-American vice president, and female, you know.
And Asian as well.
As Asian as well. And I mean, yeah. I think these are just, this is beyond politics. And these are just beautiful things that I'm so proud of. And I'm so proud to be an American right now and mm-hmm. be a native here. And but I will assure you that the data points to a massive recovery and massive optimism, massive growth, mm-hmm. so many different ways. And I know that we've been trained, you know, recently with the media, with the killer wasps and the COVID and the, you know, it's like shock therapy, because, you know, we can't forget that media is in the business of viewers. So whatever keeps you watching and giving you that dopamine hit is what they mm-hmm. do. And I don't think it's nefarious, and I don't think it's, you know, they're bad people or anything of the sort. But I will tell you, being a data freak, the future is very, very, very bright for real estate, for this country, and for things as a whole. And I'm very, very happy that my children will get to grow up in a world even better than the one that I got to grow up in. So that I'm very happy about.
Yes, indeed. Well, I think Amanda Gorman, she said it the best, and she just—
It was so beautiful.
It was phenomenal.
Stunning.
It really was. It was just kind of, it took your breath away. And that's how I think we all want to see the future. And that's—
And I believe that not only in my heart, mm-hmm. but also that's what the data says.
Yeah. Well, then that's even better, because it's not just a wish, it's a reality.
As Ronald Reagan would say, trust then verify.
Exactly.
And so the way that she said it, I trusted, I felt in my heart, I had a visceral experience, but then I have the data to back it up. So it makes me feel that much better.
Fantastic. I love that. Well, I think that says everything, and it's a great stopping point for now, because we want to end on a high note. Although you have been a high note all along, so I really do appreciate that.
Well,
I love
really
having someone.
Having me.
Yeah, yeah. I love the energy. I love the positivity. And I love the good news from a real estate standpoint. So thank you for sharing all of your predictions and all the great things that you're doing. I wish you the absolute best. I don't know if you even need my wishes, because—
No, please. I need the wishes. I need the prayers. I assure you I don't have a crystal ball. I run all the stress tests. I run the different scenarios, but I assure you I've been wrong, and we've mitigated them, but I don't have a crystal ball. And, you know, I don't like to make predictions per se, but definitely, you know, our country can use those prayers, and I'll take as many as I can get, because definitely not the smartest guy in the room by any stretch of the imagination, but I'll continue to work hard for what I believe in, and you can rest assured of that.
That's wonderful. Well, yes. So I definitely appreciate that. And I want you to promise me one thing.
You got it.
If you're ever in Gainesville, which you should come to Gainesville, if you're ever in Gainesville, please look me up, because I'd love to meet you in person.
Well, then I would ask for a reciprocal promise, and I wouldn't be a good negotiator if I didn't. So if you're ever in Austin, do the same.
Well, I definitely will. I have gone to Austin several times, and I assume I'll be there again one day when we can travel again, which I hope will be really soon.
You look me up, you'll be my personal guest. I know my wife would love to meet you, and you can come by the house and let my three little kids jump all over you and make you crazy.
I'll
definitely do that, and we'll make a meeting of the mind. You come to Austin or I come to Gainesville, that's a deal.
Perfect. All right. Well,
all
thank
right.
you
we
so
have a
much.
Great day.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for taking your time.
Bye.
All right. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Bye. Thanks everybody for listening. Ari is just a breath of fresh air, positivity, and energy, and I absolutely love that. I hope that you take away a lot of great information from this, including the positivity and the energy, and you go out and have a phenomenal day. So thanks for listening. Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you hear and want to learn more about real estate and hear the occasional funny story, then hit that subscribe button right now. And if you know of someone who'd benefit from listening, then tell them to subscribe too, or else they may feel a little left out. For questions, topic suggestions, or nice comments, send an email to anna@segwayre.com. We can also connect on Facebook at SegwayRE. Thanks for listening as we bring you a new way of doing real estate. Bye!